The sermon this week is entitled The Day the World Started Again, and it continues our series Holy Week. The reading is 2 Corinthians 5, 14-21. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Welcome to spring in Ontario. So as was said, and as you noticed, we have these beautiful palm branches here. This is typically what's called Palm Sunday, which refers to Passover, when Jesus came riding into Jerusalem just before Passover, and people are laying down palm branches in front of him. And palm branches signified peace, the peace that would come. So if you want to picture with me that some thought this Jesus, after teaching for some 3 years, was the one they were waiting for. They weren't sure what kingdom was all about. They were hoping it would include getting rid of the Romans and that now Israel would rule the world. And of course, that's not what Jesus was about. But they started to follow him, and some thought that maybe he was the Messiah. Certainly, they had no concept of him ever dying, even though Jesus talked about this. So they came putting down palm branches, signifying a welcome and peace. But Jesus made it clear. And in the Gospels, there are references to this, but I like what John had to say. Jesus speaking, and he said, "You will have all kinds of grief." That's not what they wanted to hear. "You will have all kinds of grief, but your grief will turn to peace." And that, of course, is because of the death of Jesus. And in Colossians chapter 1, it says that Jesus brought us peace through his blood shed on the cross. So if you're like me, I've always wanted to get through the death of Jesus as quickly as we can and get to the resurrection. And for so many years, I believed that the resurrection was the greatest event that has ever happened and will happen. And I don't think that way anymore. I think the Bible makes it very, very clear that the greatest day that has ever happened in the history of heaven and on earth since Adam and Eve were removed from the garden is when Jesus died on the cross. Because it's at his death where sins are forgiven. And even though most people didn't realize it, when Jesus said, "It is finished," that a new world started. It wasn't at the resurrection. The resurrection is wonderful, but the resurrection gives credibility to what happened on the cross. What good would it be if all of us are raised from the dead and still full of sin? It is through the death of Christ, his blood shed, that he brings peace. Now look at the palm branches. There's a price for those palm branches. Janet Cope bought them, by the way, I think. But anyway, it's the concept of there's a price. There's a price to peace. And I think it's important to look at this. And even though we've talked about this a little previously, we're going to talk some more about it. And if you're available on Good Friday, we're going to come together and share some things about this as well. So some of you have read older books, and Charles Dickens being one of our favorites, I think, from A Christmas Carol and so forth. But how many of you remember this very difficult book that he wrote concerning the French Revolution, written in 1859, called A Tale of Two Cities? Oh, it was the best of times. No, it was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. Nah, it was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity, skepticism. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. And then, as his impending death, he says, "It is a far, far better thing that I do than I have ever done. It is a far better rest I go to than I have ever known." When Jesus on the cross said, "It is finished," he wasn't just talking about death. What he was saying was, there's a brand new world now. It starts now. When he breathed his last breath for us, and he says, "It is finished," the world changed, even though most people didn't know it. In 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15, you know, this is a scripture that always interested me. I thought it was a bit of a play on words, and now I realize how brilliant Paul is in mentioning this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, verse 14 says, "For Christ's love compels us, for we are convinced that one died for all," and this is what I couldn't understand, "and therefore all died." Well, we're still alive. But what I think Paul is saying is, you realize what Christ has done for us? That sins are forgiven for all of us, and because of that, all of us have died, meaning we have a close connection, a personal connection to his death. He died for all. Therefore, all of us participate in his death. Isn't that great? All of us participate in his death. Who ever heard of something being great when participating in someone's death? And maybe it's Jesus saying to us what he said to his disciples. Because of the death of Jesus, there will be great grief, but joy will come. Now, this may be a stretch, but maybe when he says, "but joy will come," is that we're thinking about his resurrection. But I'm not so sure about that. I'm thinking that what he might be saying is, right now, you're going to have great grief, but your joy will come when you understand what this means. That we all participate in the death of Christ. That it's at that moment that sins have been forgiven for all of us. And I know I said this last week, but for some reason, when it comes to special days, religious special days, it's not difficult at all to get people to come to a Christmas Eve service or a Christmas Day service. All the child Christ has come into the world. It's great. It's awesome. And we really don't have too much of a problem filling a church building or church buildings all over the world when it comes to Easter, when it comes to the resurrection. But for some reason, on Good Friday, people want to step back and have nothing to do with it. And maybe one of the reasons for that is because we spent so much time dealing with the crucifixion. And that's not what Good Friday's about. It's not an examination of how Christ died. Many of his disciples died horrible deaths as well. It's not how Jesus died. It's not a step-by-step scripture and verse looking at what happened to Jesus on the cross. It is the examination of the greatest event that has ever taken place in the history of humankind, that he died for all of us. And it's a reminder on Good Friday to come together, to examine what the prophets said about that day, but they themselves didn't understand it. And a reminder that some 2,000 years after the great event, we're still trying to wrestle with what it means. It's important to come together and say, when Jesus said, "It is finished," a new world started at that moment. They thought, the Roman government, that they were getting rid of him. Jesus said, "Welcome to a brand new world. Welcome to a brand new world." The cost? So significant, it's beyond words. But the understanding of a new life. So think with me about a couple of scriptures that we've used in the past that are profound. If there's anyone who had a grasp of a global salvation in the sense of John always looking at the whole world, it's John himself. And here's what John says in 1 John 2 and verse 2. I know many of you can quote this with no problem. And that's this, that Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Do you want to read this out loud with me? But not only our sins, but the sins of the what? Whole world. Whole world. See, this death is not just inclusive. Oh, it is. But it's exclusive for all creation itself. That day, for all creation. And in Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, having canceled the written code, the old law, with its regulations that was against us, he took that old law away by nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle, triumphing over them by the cross. I thought the resurrection did that. But Paul is making it very clear. No, it's at the death of Jesus that he made a public spectacle against all those evil authorities in the heavenly realms. He dismantled their power when it looked like they had won. Are you tracking with me? It looked like because he died that Satan and all of his counterparts, that the demons, that they thought they'd won, when in fact they lost completely, that he gave himself. And this is hard to grasp, even for the demons. Even for the demons. He triumphed over them, making a public spectacle of what they thought is power beyond power. Jesus said, his death brings newness. I always think of it this way. Maybe someday God will show us in Technicolor the day that he said, I'm going to start creating. I'm going to start creating. I'm going to create the earth. Can you just imagine this global blob? And day after day after day, whether that's 24 hours or not, I don't know, there's this newness, this bright color, this this explosion of growth, this powerful world that comes into existence. Just beautiful and profound and amazing. He's creating all of this world. And then it doesn't take too long, and pretty soon, the world comes crashing in on itself. But immediately, God sets the plan. I'm going to make all things right. I'm going to make all things right. I'm going to create new things. See, at the end of creation, God said, "It is finished. My creation's finished." And on the cross, what did Jesus say? "It is finished." Boom. A new world just started that we're part of. And it's because of what happened to him, because he was willing to do this for him. So how important is the death of Christ? How significant is the death of Christ? Paul, John, Peter, they would all say that the death of Jesus Christ is the greatest event that has ever taken place. So let me wrap up. There are great scriptures when it comes to understanding all of this. And again, I'm trying to rethink these scriptures in terms of how I felt previously to how I feel now. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2 is just a very popular verse. But now it makes such sense to me that this brilliant man, Paul, and if you ever really want to question how brilliant he was, I would say read the book of Romans, where he goes into depth of the significance of Christ himself. Just profound. But in Corinthians, as he's writing to a group of Gentile Christians who are struggling with everything, and I'm glad of that. I know that sounds terrible, but I think there are times in all of our lives where we struggle, sometimes with everything. Just the world seems to come crashing with everything. So Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2. "For I'm resolved to know nothing." Church full of problems, he says, "I'm resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Period. It's the greatest day, even though horrible, that's ever been. And so Paul does what we have been asked to do. Personalize. So in Galatians 2 and verse 20, "I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. In the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Which is another way of saying what he said in 2 Corinthians. "Christ died, therefore all have died in him." We have this privilege of understanding this personal Jesus who did it for us. Who did it for us. And if that doesn't motivate us, think of the person that you love more than yourself. Is there someone in this world you love more than yourself? Because if that doesn't motivate you in the sense of what Christ has done, well, think of it this way then. Think of what Christ has done for the person you love more than yourself. And for those of us who are a bit older, think of what this means for our children or our grandchildren. Or for those of you who one day will have children or grandchildren, that maybe someday 200 years from now, a great, 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 great grandchild will stand up and say to that generation, "Do we realize what Christ has done for us so that we can live as victorious people because our sins have been washed by his blood. Oh, we're not going to go through gory details on Good Friday when it comes to the crucifixion. No wonder people don't want to go. It's not a step-by-step of a crucifixion. No, it is, as Jesus said, it is finished. When God said it at the creation, it is finished. The world exploded with growth. And on the cross, when Jesus said, it is finished, it sent a message to the evil spirits in the world, and it sent a message to us that this is the greatest moment in the history of all mankind. A new world has started, and we live in it today. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.